Good afternoon, and welcome to yet another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. We hope you're having a wonderful summer, and I have a very special guest with me today. I have Joyce Wilson, who is President and CEO of the Workforce Development Board in El Paso, otherwise known as
Workforce Solutions Borderplex.
Workforce Solutions Borderplex. Which I like the sound of that as
Thank
well,
you.
By the way. Welcome, Joyce. Glad to have you on board.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. So why don't we begin by talking about a few things that are going on or have already recently gone on with the Workforce Borderplex that our audience should know about.
Yes, one of the most recent events we had was the relocation of our Northeast Career Center to a new Dyer site closer to I-54 and Dyer at the Villanueva Center, and we had an official dedication of that facility on June 16th. And, of course, the chamber was there with a number of other dignitaries, and so we're really proud of that operation and think that it will be a much better fit for the community, provide better services in a more professional environment to suit the needs of the people that use it.
That's great. Well, you've been on the job now officially, and because at one point you were interim, mm-hmm. and the interim was dropped. Tell us how long you've been. What's your tenure so far?
So in total, I've been with the Workforce Board for 2 years.
That's
in fact,
amazing.
It's 2 years this month, if that's
happy anniversary.
Hard to believe it's been that long. And so I came in as interim, and by the end of the year, like it was probably after 6 months, they offered me the position permanently, asked me to stay on. And so I did, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a big change for me in terms of a career focus, but it's very meaningful work. And I have the opportunity to work really closely with the business and economic development communities, as well as the educational sector. And so it was a good transition.
That's great, and congratulations, and again, happy second anniversary. So we have something coming up very quickly, as in next week, a special event, which is the Hiring Our Heroes program in partnership with the U.S. Chamber being held at the Convention Center on July 12th. You want to talk a little bit about what Workforce Borderplex has been doing, not only with this upcoming event, but in the past with the U.S. Chamber and the Greater El Paso Chamber, as well in this Hiring Our Heroes program?
Certainly. Well, veterans, transitioning military personnel and spouses are a priority population for service with the Workforce Board. And so we do work really closely with the U.S. Chamber, other organizations that provide services to veterans, the Greater Chamber, who has a really, I think, very proactive and broad-ranging mission regarding the military. And so we work in a supportive role for the Hiring Our Heroes job fair. And our primary goal is to assist the U.S. Chamber and other organizations to make sure that we reach out to employers so we can assist them getting as many businesses as possible to participate in the fair. We also have a fairly robust database of self-identified military personnel and veterans. And so we push out the notices of the hiring fair to those populations so that they're aware of it. And typically we're on site to provide some supportive services too if need be. But we're not the lead in this particular event. We actually have our own Red, White, and You every November with the state. It's a statewide initiative through the Texas Workforce Commission. And, of course, the Greater Chamber and the U.S. Chamber partner with us on that as well. So there's a lot of, I think, really good collaboration around providing job opportunities for transitioning soldiers and veterans and military spouses.
Well, I wanted to first get through some of the chronological special events mm-hmm. that either have happened or are about to happen.
Sure.
But now I really would like to spend the next 15 or 20 minutes with you talking a little bit about, first of all, what it is that the Workforce Borderplex does, who they represent, because there's a lot of misperceptions mm-hmm. out there, what you don't do as well, how things have changed since you've come on board the last 2 years. If you wouldn't mind sharing some of that, I think our audience really needs to know all the services that you provide through the organization locally and the places where they can go to get those services, take advantage of it.
Thank you. Well, Workforce Solutions Borderplex is the regional workforce board, and we're one of 28 in the state. And as I said earlier, we work under the auspices of the Texas Workforce Commission, even though we're a nonprofit organization. We serve a six-county region here in southwestern Texas, from El Paso County going east to Presidio. And we have seven career centers in the region, one in Presidio, one in Alpine. We have actually two sites on Fort Bliss now because we just opened a new one. And then we have a small facility in Fabens, one in the northeast, one at North Loop, and one downtown. And if anyone is looking for the specific location, they can just go to Workforce Solutions. Well, they can go to BorderplexJobs.com, which is our website, and it'll give them the listing, the address, the hours of operation. So basically, we have about a $45 to $50 million budget. And those funds are used to operate the centers and to provide various types of supportive services to different populations. As I said earlier, there are priority populations such as veterans and transitioning soldiers, persons with disabilities, and then persons who have been displaced, who are receiving unemployment insurance benefits. Once they are eligible for those, they also then come into our system, and we assist them with finding reemployment as quickly as possible to get them back into the workplace. We also provide assistance to individuals who have been displaced through what we call the Trade Adjustment Assistance Act. And those are individuals whose firms leave the country. And so they're displaced because their firm located out of the country. And we have special dollars to assist them with retooling skills. They get a stipend. They get support services. And the goal is to really help those individuals find a comparable job at a comparable wage. Because many instances, a lot of those jobs are sort of lower-skilled jobs that maybe individuals don't have a lot of education, but they're making good money because it's the manufacturing sector or something like that. And when that job disappears, the counter opportunities may not be available at that salary. Then we have programs for youth, adults, individuals who are on supplemental assistance like food stamps, temporary assistance, who are required to be looking for work or to be in a training program. They have to register with us, and then we track to keep so that they can maintain their benefits, and we assist them with training and job placement. And then we provide what we call universal services. And that's really where we've kind of refocused our efforts. And those are services to businesses. Because historically, I think the organizations really worked on the client, the job seeker. But at the end of the day, it's the business who has the jobs. It's the business sector that needs talent. And so we've really redirected our efforts, and the new legislation has helped us do that better, I think, to really reach out to businesses, to understand what their hiring and talent needs are, and to be really proactive in working with them to help them fill their demand, either through our database, through special hiring fairs, maybe through customized training, where we have individuals in our system that just need some additional training. So we can do paid work experience on-the-job training. We can get funds from the state to assist a company with a customized training program through the community college. And so our services to business are fairly broad and overarching. And we do as much, like for Western Refinery, for example, they use us all the time because when they recruit, they just get inundated with applications because they're a choice employer in this region. And so they use our organization to actually be like a preliminary HR. You know, we recruit, we get all the applications, we screen them. Sometimes we'll do some preliminary assessment for them. They use our sites. And at the end of the day, we'll assist them to whittle it down to maybe a handful. And so those are the kinds of services that we provide to businesses. And so we've been pretty assertive, I think, over the last year to 18 months to really get out there. Our staff, our business services staff, we're all very involved in the chambers. We're very involved with other business organizations. We do a lot of networking. We do a lot of presenting. And so as a result, we're currently serving almost 30% of the business establishments in the region.
I can speak as an employer over many years. This is a dramatic shift, and a shift for the better.
Thank you.
I don't just say that too because you're a guest on the show. For years, the typical job fair in El Paso was, mm-hmm. look out, here they come.
Yeah.
Here comes the day we're doing mm-hmm. it. They have to have special traffic control mm-hmm. on the streets for all the cars coming. And you end up with several thousand people at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And of those several thousand, sadly, because they all need jobs, you may only have a few hundred that are meeting the minimum qualifications for that position. And that's much the shotgun approach, which never seemed to work. I know the employers didn't enjoy it. And you mentioned Western Refining, but you also do work with ADP, I believe.
We work very closely with ADP.
Yeah, and I think they've been
Prudential, Charles Schwab. A lot of the new employers that have come into the area that have an array of skill levels, high school, college, IT types of skills. And so we've developed some really good relationships with all of those firms. And then we have other firms, transportation companies that are always hiring, construction. And so we've really redesigned our industry fairs to be more of a target industry approach where we'll only focus on certain industry clusters. For example, we completed one in June, earlier in June, that focused on about three different sectors, business services, I want to say finance, and maybe healthcare. And there's probably 40 employers, maybe 400 plus job seekers, maybe 300 jobs. But it was a really orderly process. We do a lot more advanced work with the job seekers to try to get them prepared, make sure they have resumes, give them tips on how to dress. We do a kind of what we call Borderplex certified program, where if you go through a training, we call you Borderplex certified, which means you're job ready based on our standards. And so we've gotten a lot of good feedback from the employers who participate that they're seeing a better quality candidate. It's not so crowded, like you said, that they can't really spend time with applicants. And I think this last fair, we probably had four or five just on-the-spot hires, as well as maybe another dozen interviews ready to follow up. But this group this time, really, they were taking resumes because they have a different kind of testing process and stuff. And so I anticipate that there'll be a lot of follow-up.
Yeah, you just recently had a reverse job fair.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was something new we did because we have a new service provider, Dynamic Workforce, who has come in to manage our career centers. And so, of course, we launched our Summer Youth Hire Initiative, which, of course, last year the Chamber was a major supporter and participant, and again this year. And so we created this training program called Dynamic Futures. And the participating youth went through a week-long training program, pretty intense. And then we set up a reverse hiring fair on the same day as the regular hiring fair, where actually the youth had the booth and their portfolio, and the employers came to see them, and they were marketing themselves. And it was really interesting and fun, and everyone who participated was just totally blown away. The kids were amazing. They were really poised and confident. I bet we had a dozen hires.
That's great.
On the spot, plus a number of interviews for follow-up. And then several of the employers said that they wanted to participate in the sponsorship program for a summer youth, and so they went online and registered. And so that's ongoing throughout the summer. So if there are any businesses who want to participate, again, go to borderplexjobs.com and register for summer hire, youth summer hire.
Okay, that's borderplexjobs.com. All one word.
Yes.
.com. So hopefully folks will remember that. We don't want you writing that down while you're driving.
No.
Right? We've already had enough of those things happening to last us probably another lifetime. So if we can go back just a moment on the Hiring Our Heroes program coming up July 12th, I was neglectful in not mentioning the point of contact and how to access this information. So for those who are in the military, whether you're retiring or separating and or your spouses, you can participate in this job fair July 12th at the Convention Center downtown. The person to contact is a woman named Julie Russell. You can get her information off of our website, the chamber, at elpaso.org. El Paso treated as one word. Or you, if you do have a safe place, you're sitting down, not driving, we'll give you a phone number to call for information, 202, that's Washington, D.C., 360-0471, that's 202-360-0471, Julie Russell, or on our website, you'll get the information at elpaso.org. So now, let's go back and talk about a few other things. First of all, and I can again speak to this from firsthand experience over these last 12 years working with the Workforce Board, your Workforce Board of Directors has really transformed. You have a number of, I think, some of the best and brightest in our community who are leading that effort. Why don't you tell us a little about who is on your board, why they're on your board, so that the audience understands how important your board is to what you do.
So the way that we're set up to operate, we're required to have a board that's very prescriptively described by Texas Workforce Commission to ensure certain types of representation. So we must have at least 25, no more than 23 on the board. Half of that group.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
We must have 25 minimum
board members.
And no more than 33.
Oh, no more than 33.
So we currently have 27. So we have a little bit above the minimum. That gives us some capacity in case somebody resigns suddenly. And half of those individuals must be from the private sector. Then the remaining half have to represent education, community-based organizations, labor. We have to have we're mandated to have an expert on child care because we have a huge child care program in terms of subsidies. And so there's a combination of like sectors that need to be represented. And so the mayor is the lead chief elected official, and he represents all six counties. So he is the one who actually makes the appointment based on who we require. So if I need someone from the private sector, then I'll let his office know that we have a vacancy and we need a private sector rep, or if we need a community base or some education or whatever. And his office and team, his staff has been really good about working with us to sort of identify candidates. And so my staff and I will identify candidates that meet a certain criteria who would be interested in serving, and we just forward the names to them. And I think there was a conscientious effort to sort of – I think there were a lot of longstanding members who had been on there for many, many years. And I think they made a decision that after so many years on the board, you know, so many terms, that you would transition out and they would bring new people in. And so we've been really fortunate. I mean, we have Bertha Gallardo, who is with Del Sol, Las Palmas Del Sol. Dr. Roberto Coronado is now on the board from the Federal Reserve. Gary Hedrick from the School of Business, UTEP School of Business.
Former CEO of El Paso Electric.
Mm-hmm. And a really good finance person. Steve Blanco, who's a labor attorney, a prominent attorney. Fernando Escobedo of ADP is on the board. We have two representatives from the rural area, Dave Wilson and Patricia Long. Dave's a businessman in Alpine. He was also in charge of the Small Business Development Center at Sol Ross. Patricia Long was his successor, so she's the head of the SBC at Sol Ross. So we have a broad regional approach. There's 25.
Leo Duran's your chairman.
Leo Duran's our chair now. Doug Warnock from Boeing's on there. Mika Short from Texas Gas. Yvette Delgado, who was with DISH. So we have some really good, I think, diverse business sector. And then Dr. Aguirre from Region 19, Dr. William Serrata from El Paso Community College. We are represented from the Adult Education Literary Consortium. Andrea Chideo is our child care representative. She was on the Avance board. So, and it's a really diverse group in terms of, gender, ethnicity, and representation of the community. So I do think it's a very prominent board, and we're extremely excited about what they bring to the table.
Well, that's great. That's really what I wanted to have you touch on. Actually, the chamber has a role that plays here, and I'm not sure where or how it began. It certainly was before I came to the chamber, but every periodic time there will be an application presented to me for the private sector mm-hmm. for me to sign and approve and then forward on to you. Then I guess you take it to the mayor, or it starts with the mayor and ends up on our desk. And I sign it representing the private sector, and then that person.
Then it goes to the TWC, and then the commission approves all the appointments ultimately.
That's great. And by the way, we just recently, as you know, hosted in El Paso back in, I guess it was May, seems like ages ago, the so-called Tri-Commission visit to El Paso, which was hosted by Dr. Serrata at the community college.
Great event.
It was a phenomenal event. I think one of the main reasons was, unlike in the past, because we hosted one with ADP a couple of years ago, of course, we had the same three organizations, which is the Texas Workforce Commission, the Higher Education Coordinating Board Commissioner. We also had the Texas Education Agency represented by the Commissioner for Texas Education, Public Education. This time, I think the big difference was that you didn't have one commissioner in Andres Alcantar. You had all three commissioners from the Workforce Commission
yes.
present, which I thought was just phenomenal. And their feedback, their input in the conversation, it wasn't just a lecture from a panel. It was a conversation with the panel and the participants. You want to share a little bit of your thoughts on that particular event?
Well, we were very excited at the outcome of that because, one, the community representation participation, I thought, was astounding. We got great response to the invites. The commissioners from the three agencies were very impressed, I think, with what we were doing here, particularly the engagement of the business sector and their commitment to really working with the educational entities to improve performance and college readiness. I also thought it was interesting because there was a debate about our early college, high school, and, kind of the rigor of that. And I thought that our leaders held their own in terms of their commitment to quality and really making that opportunity available. And so they walked away with a lot of really good information and ideas about things that are working and being piloted that they could maybe rethink and expand. And then, of course, they held a special session just on veterans at the end. And they've done a lot of follow-up with us since then. And so we're kind of hoping that maybe we're going to get some special resources to supplement some of our veterans' efforts here.
Well, I think that would be great. Be sure and let
me
know.
I'm cautiously optimistic, yeah. So I will.
I'll knock on wood with you as well. And, you mentioned that conversation / debate that occurred relative to the early college high school. And I see we only have about 5 minutes left, but I do want to touch on that a little bit because what I found particularly interesting to your comment about our folks in El Paso held their own, Dr. Serrata in particular, who I have the absolute highest regard for. He's just a dynamic leader who's carried on the torch because Richard Rhodes before him did a great job mm-hmm. with the community college, and William Serrata really didn't miss a beat, but he really took them to task over the criticisms of early college high school because they were basing their comments on what experiences they had in other parts of the state. And when he shared the data with them to show them mm-hmm. El Paso isn't the norm, we were actually setting some new standards for performance in the early college high school arena. And, of course, then the conversation went on related to dual credit, and you mentioned rigor. And then he whispered to me later that actually someone leaned over to him from the panel in a position of high authority to say, I'm sorry, Dr. Serrata, we really should have made a statement that said El Paso Community College is the exception, that you are setting the standards across the state. But I was grateful that He didn't pull any
punches. Actually, that was the most animated I've ever seen him because he's pretty soft-spoken and mild manner.
You know, he really
I was
is.
Really impressed.
but, you know, he's very articulate. He serves on the Collaborative for Academic Excellence, mm-hmm. which is chaired by Dr. Natalicia UTEP. I'm fortunate enough to be a part of that group. And as a result of that, I get to hear him speak very frequently. And he's articulate, well-spoken, and extremely well-informed on those subjects. And he does a great job for us. So we're just about out of time. Perhaps a closing thought from you, Joyce?
Well, I want to thank you for hosting me today. And I do encourage everyone in El Paso to get familiar with Workforce Solutions BorderPlex. And again, that's BorderPlexJobs.com, one word. If you're a business needing assistance with talent, if you're a job seeker looking for a better opportunity or training and a job, contact us and we're there to help you.
And I will echo that. We've been in search for an accounting manager at the Chamber, and we had some responses, but once we posted it with you, we've been inundated with applicants, qualified applicants.
Good.
So I'll attest to that for you. A closing thought before we say goodbye, because you're getting used to me saying this to you by now. If you're listening to Primetime, you're a fan of KTEP and NPR. But are you a supporter financially of KTEP? And if you are not, here's an opportunity for you to step up and say, we love this show and we want to support them, by calling 747-5152 and supporting them with a small contribution or a large contribution. There is no such thing as too little. We'll accept any contribution to the organization. We need your help. We love this organization. We love this channel. And we want you to support KTEP. So please take a moment to do it today. Don't waste your time. Get right with it. Support us at 747-5152. And then with the closing thought, thank you again, as always, for listening to El Paso Primetime. We love providing this show to you, and we appreciate your support. Have a great weekend.